It certainly is, where you get one full hour of free advice from an expert. Have the number for you to call right now, 514-790-0800. You got a little issue, a little problem, renovation project, possibly you need some advice. Walter Assey from Inovco is here to answer your calls, and he's on the line. Hi, Walter.
Good morning. How are you, Ken?
I'm very good. Walter, how's your driving been lately? Because for the last several days, I mean, the roads are in such terrible shape right about now. I'm constantly swerving, trying to avoid a pothole.
You know what? I've lost two tires so far this year, so I don't want to even talk about it. But you know what? We're used to it almost by now. It's like you should have spare tires in your garage.
I know.
It's something that happens every March. I don't understand it, but you know, it is what it is. We have to deal with it, and it's part of the hasard de route, like they call it.
Wait. Yeah. 514-790-0800. You have a question for Walter, dial now, 514-790-0800. Walter, before we get to the phones, you know, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, we talked about, I think one of our texters was asking for advice about changing their front door. And you mentioned curb appeal. You mentioned curb appeal. Yeah. Does the same thing apply when you talk about curb appeal and the front door? Does the same thing apply, and I imagine it does, to your garage door and what that looks like?
100%. And most of us don't know that there's many different styles of garage doors, and now they're getting fancier and fancier. You know, for me, if you ask me, the garage door is much bigger than your front door, so the curb appeal on it should be as important, if not more important. If you look at the new styles that came in lately, mm-hmm. in the last couple of years, you'll be amazed. You'd be amazed. And the other thing that we want to look at with that is you know, there are modern doors, modern look for modern homes. So you can put something classic, and same thing for a farmhouse, same thing for the classic look of a home. The colors are important. The colors are very important. There are a big variety of colors. And the good news is most of them use standardized color charts. So if you have a brown door, you know, chances are you're going to find the same brown in your garage. Sometimes you go to homes and you see that the browns or the whites are not totally the same. And that really, really bothers the curb appeal of the home. So just make sure that when you're using a shade or when you're choosing a shade, choose the right shade. If you don't have it with the right supplier, moving on to another supplier, they have other color charts, and you have a better chance of matching that shade.
Right.
We do that all the time. We work, you know, in between two color chart systems, and a lot of the times we look at a certain color. Even if we find that the shade is really off by a little bit, we will still try the other chart, because chances are we can have a perfect match on it.
Got it. All right. Let's go to the
other thing I want to just mention, yeah. Ken, about, yeah. Sorry, just very important point. The reason we're saying that is sometimes you say it's a small variation. Why would you do that? Don't forget, this is new. Chances are your front door and your garage door are not going to be changed the same time. So when it's sunbaked, when, you know, it's subjected to the elements and the sun, and so on and so forth, the color will vary even more. So that small variance with time might become a big variance as well. So
I see.
That's why it's important to try to get as close to match as possible.
Very good. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. We have one full hour of free advice for you. We're going to start with Lynn. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is more aesthetic than anything else. I'm looking to change my hardwood floors.
Lynn?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, we're still here. You're going to change
it. What,
are you looking, like all over or one specific room?
Well, we're going to do the main floor. Yeah. So it's the living room, dining room, and entranceway. Now, the whole house is in oak. Oak. So do I have to stay with oak? Because the upstairs is all oak. And, you know, I really like the maple because I don't like all this grain everywhere.
Yeah. I hear you. What do you think, Walter?
That's a great question. There's a couple of things that we want to look at. Number one, the more important for me would be your staircase. What is it made of?
Uh-huh.
Is it made out of oak,
yeah.
or is it made out of maple?
No.
That should be your first thing you look at. Because,
okay.
you know, if you have an oak stair and you put a maple floor, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. You're going to see the veins even more. So that will be the first thing I would look at.
Okay.
The other thing that I would want you maybe to kind of look at would be the newer generation of hardwood floors, like even in the engineered, if you want to go in the engineered section, with the wider planks and everything else, you might find that oak becomes a bit more attractive.
More what?
The older, more attractive.
Oh,
because they kind of, the wider planks, and especially if you have a certain stain, I would look into that as well at the same time.
And so the question is about the darker versus lighter.
Yes. So what's the question about that?
Well, I mean, because what I personally don't like is that the very dark grain, you know, that shows through. So I imagine the dark, like I think darker makes the house look richer and looks nicer. I think that's the trend. But I find then you get these really very pronounced grain in the oak.
Okay. So that present trend right now is not really the darker. Oh. It's the in-betweens.
Uh-huh.
It's not, you know, the very light, although the very light is back in right now.
Mm-hmm.
The dark is actually rarely being used right now because problem is not very practical, right? So you see dust on it all the time, you see dirt and so on and so forth. You have this in-between colors like the chestnut type of stains that is not too saturated and it looks nice. Mm-hmm. That might be a good option for you. Having said that, your second floor and your first floor are not really connected visually. So the only bridge between them is your stairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should focus on. And then if your stairs is a go, then everything else becomes easy for you.
Very good. Thank you.
So don't let that limit you. When you're renovating,
yeah,
that's very important. And thank you for like calling and bringing this up, Lynn. We have a lot of times requests to match something old when you're renovating something new. And, you know, in a case where you're spending too much money, update to today's taste. Don't try to match the taste of the 1960s or the 70s or the 80s just because another section of the house have it. That will actually be a mistake because you won't look updated to today's taste and materials and so on and so forth. So if you are renovating a big portion of the home, try to choose what you really like. That's your dream. Get it done. And especially if you're doing the whole main floor. Don't compromise just because of a second floor. Who knows? Maybe one day you'll do the second floor and it will be all the same. But for now, focus on the areas that you are renovating and make sure that your staircase matches nicely whatever you choose. That's the most important. I can't emphasize that enough. The other thing is your moldings and your trims. Are they, are they also up to date? Are they going to match? Are they, if you're choosing something, if you're looking for a modern look and you have a classical moldings and trims, this all goes together. So that's something that you also need to start doing the selection process on that right now.
Lynn, it's going to look great when it's done, though.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lynn. Enjoy. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. Walter Assey from Renovco is answering your phone calls. I'm Ken Connors. This is the Home Improvement Show. Again, 514-790-0800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are. We're here till 10 o'clock with Walter Assey from Renovco. You can call now and get in at 514-790-0800. Too many phone numbers going through my brain.
You were giving your phone number away?
I was. Walter, you know, just before we get back to the phones here, you know, the previous caller about the hardwood floors, and, you know, you mentioned the point that, you know, don't worry about, you know, if it's not going to exactly match with your second floor, if you're doing something in terms of hardwood on the first floor, because visually you don't see the two together. But that transition area, the staircase, how difficult a job is that when you're, you know, to redo the staircase? And I guess if you're going to redo the stairs, you want to redo, you know, put new spindles in as well, right?
Well, the good news is the chances are if your house is not up to date, not updated, the spindles do not match. Okay. So it almost 90% of the time goes together that the spindles have to be looked at. I would say 95% of the time, the stain on the stairs would have to be changed because we're, chances are we're not going with the same color. And even if we are, it's not SH. Especially if you would have like a natural look or a natural stain, it turns into an orangey kind of a look after a while. That becomes an issue even if you go with a natural stain with a newer floor because it's usually whiter. So having said that, the stairs is almost always part of the equation and it should be budgeted for. It should be looked at. Where it gets to be more complicated is when you would have to change the steps and the risers and everything else, because if you're going with a completely different grain, so you're not going with oak, you're going with maple, and you know it have aggressive veins on it and you might not like that and so on and so forth. That's really what you know where you would look and see. So you get the samples that whatever you pick, the trick is do not get just one plank. You want to get, if you can even get a whole box. Number one, to see the lengths of the planks in the box. These different selections, different color variations, most often than not, you'll have like multiple shades of that particular stain. So you want to make sure that you like the shades, you like the variation, you like the grains, and sometimes even the perfection. So if you go with a rustic type quality, it have a lot more knots on it. So some people love that, others hate that. So, and then how much knots do you want? Some manufacturers will put a lot more knots because their clients want, or their designers decided that they wanted more like a barn look, style.
Rustic.
Flooring.
Yeah.
That's right. And others would put a bit less. That's why I'm saying more often than not, do invest in one box. Okay. I know it's money that it will be well spent, because again, buying one box and making a mistake on it is better than making a mistake or 2,000-3,000 square feet worth of that material.
Very good. On the phones here, let's go to Santina. Hello, Santina.
Yes, hello. My name is Asuntina.
Yes.
How are you, gentlemen?
Very good. What's your question for Walter?
Yes, my question for Walter is, they work with, he's representing Renovco, is that right?
Yes.
From what I hear. Now, I have had Renovco come and do my some work here in my home, and I was very satisfied, and I've thanked them in advance, and I was very thankful for, I was just so happy about the work that was done in my home. However, I want Walter to know that I, after the renovation that was done from Renovco, which I was very pleased and had no trouble or problems with anything, I called another company that was called Bell Aluminum, and they literally stole my money.
You know what, that's not the time and place for that type of call. I'm going to put her on hold. You know what, take her number down, Matt, and if she wants to call Walter off the air. But the point of the show is not to slam another company or any company on the radio.
That's correct.
5-1.
It's very, very important just to mention, Ken. It's really, if you have issues with other companies, there are, I would gladly assist off air. You could email me. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what the steps are. The idea is we don't want to publicly slam another company. We don't know the second part of the story. I do appreciate the fact that she was happy. Mm-hmm. And that's very nice of her to mention it. Except that, you know, we're trying to, as much as we can, give information that is helpful to everyone. If there's any legal issues that you would like to have assistance on, we'll gladly help you off air. You can even ask the general question on air, but maybe not name those companies because that's not the purpose of the show.
Absolutely. Well said. All right. 925-514-790-0800. I'm going to ask you to put your real estate hat on for a second, Walter, because you wear many hats. How important, you know, they always say, you know, you go into the house and, you know, the first impression or what sells a house is how the kitchen looks or how the bathrooms look. What about the windows? How important are the windows? Do they make an impression when people are doing a walkthrough, or do they even notice?
They do notice. And today's buyers are a lot more, I would say they were a lot more picky about things. Products are evolving all the time, and windows is something that we've been following for years. honestly, you put a cheap window and you put a good quality window next to each other, and the difference is night and day. The color, the saturation, the structure, the solidity, the look even is night and day, and that's beside the functionality. Don't forget, windows, I mean, 25% of your home usually is made out of windows. Mm. So that's 25% of the look of your exterior curb appeal goes to windows. That's colors and styles and models. You will be amazed to see what's out there now. Colors, I mean, you could. There's so much variety. There's the colonial, there's the modern structure or look or pattern. You know, let's not talk about windows the same way we used to talk about them 20 or 30 years ago. Right now, they are part of your design process. And in our designing, like our design team, windows are really taken seriously. We spend way more time on that right now. We bring in different styles, and we kind of put them in our CAD just to see what the 3D rendering looks like. And you'll be amazed just by sometimes doing something that's just between modern and colonial. The difference in the look is enormous. The other thing with windows that we always have to look at is the construction of the window. Hmm. Okay, you have to research how was this window manufactured. Believe it or not, there's a lot of mom and pop stores that manually assemble steel windows in Quebec. This is not adequate for our weather. You want the window to have a robotic welding process. You want it to be, you know, machines are less prone to make mistakes than humans, right? So anything that is mechanized is you know, what is the process that they use to produce the window. You don't want anything to be flimsy. It's not in our weather, at least. So don't just look at the look. Don't look at the price. Look at what's behind it, okay? How solid the frame is, the thickness of the frame, and all the technical data. That's what's really important in the windows selection process.
Very good. All right, Walter, we're going to take a little break for news and then come back. 514-790-0800. We're back with more of your calls on the Home Improvement Show.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Saturday morning and a sunny minus 8 out there. It's Ken Connors along with Walter Azzi from Renovco. We've got some people ready to go here. So let's start out in Laval with Romeo. Romeo, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to talk to Walter about redoing a back wall. Explain the situation.
Okay. I bought the building 3 years ago. It's a commercial building. The back wall looks like like a stucco, like what they use for the when they do the ceiling inside the house, like a popcorn, you know, when it's all crumply.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like back then, I guess the owner never put a gutter at the top, so the water, I guess, was seeping in between the stucco and the original wall, and it just popped out like it's all warped. So I want to remove it. What's the best that I? People say vinyl is no good, aluminum is no good. I don't know what the value. What's the best thing that I can do?
Okay. Behind
the wall where a piece fell off, there's like a they put like a wiring to hold the cement. You know what they do the cement like the stucco.
Yes, the old stucco. Yeah. How old is the building?
I think more like 40 years, but in very good condition.
4 years. Okay. I might just complicate your life a little bit more right now. not purposely, but to protect your interest as well. You might need to get the stucco tested for asbestos content.
Okay.
A lot of times in those years before you remove it, and the reason I'm telling you this is you better preemptively do it now rather than doing it during the job, and it's a lot more complicated. I mean, 4 years ago is right smack in the middle of the asbestos times. If this wall have an asbestos content above what the provincial standards are, then you would have to do all the demolition under asbestos conditions.
Okay.
And I don't suggest you ignore that. because someone will look at it and someone might call on you. And if then, you know, the Ministry of Health or CSST or anybody comes and sees that the job is not, you know, have not followed the proper procedures, you're in a whole world of trouble. So that's number one. You know, when we look at stucco, especially from that era, we are, you know, we have to look into that the proper way. So that might also affect your decision what to do. Do you just repair it if it's stucco, if it have asbestos content, or go ahead, you have a question.
Yeah, because I had an inspector, like when we bought the building, the inspector came, and he told us the wall in the back has to be changed because it's like all, you can knock on it, it sounds hollow.
Okay, that's good. Now what, the good news for you is asbestos testing does not cost much. You're talking about, if you take the sample yourself, it's about $75 a sample. So there's not a huge investment there. The only reason I'm telling you this is because you would have to plan with in the demolition process. It's doable. It's just an additional budget that you might have not put aside for that project. Having said that, the second thing you want to look at before you decide on the material is to have the discussion with the city. What are they going to allow you to do in the back?
Okay.
Not because, you know, you like vinyl or you like a certain type of product, the city is going to necessarily allow you to do that. So that's another discussion that you'd like to have, and that they might restrict you to 2-3 finishings that you have to absolutely choose from. To answer the third part of your question, any commercial building where, you know, budget might be a constraint and so on and so forth, there are a lot of siding products that are extremely solid and they actually look good, like the fibro cement type of siding. It have waterproof capabilities. It looks nice. It's very solid. It stands the test of time, and the city tend to like it because of its fire retardant qualities, if you wish. So you might want to look into that, or metal siding, something that is a bit more strong than commercial building. To put vinyl siding, it's a bit flimsy on it. I mean, it's not really the greatest or the most solid, you know, especially if it's high up there and so on and so forth. So you might want to look into that as an option.
Okay. Because I can't do the job. I have no idea how to do it. So I'm looking for someone like these guys. I keep hearing good things about these guys. So maybe I might call these guys to come and
all right,
take a look.
Romeo, thanks for the call and good luck with the project.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Let's go to Vito, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Vito.
Hi there. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Vito, you want to talk about, I guess, staining some brick, right?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of the background. So right now, live in a bungalow where the facade has kind of two style of concrete covering. You have brick, and then below the brick, you have that colored concrete block, if you will. Basically, 1950s, that was the... and now looking to put in an addition on the second floor, partial addition that would require more brick. And to avoid a third style of brick, if you can't match exact or whatever, I'm just wondering an opinion on staining the whole facade, or is it worth redoing the facade in brick, or keeping, you know, partial brick and using another material? Basically, what it is I don't like the concrete block section. So that is something that if I can, I wanted to change what it looks like. So the idea of just wanted an opinion on the stain option, like a spray to avoid the naming a brand, but from, you know, a painting or a staining of a brick. Just wanted an opinion on that.
Okay. So short term, this will be a good thing for you. Long term, it's not. Bricks to be painted or stained, especially if you stain and seal the mortar, it's not recommended at all. You want the humidity to breathe. You want the brick to be let. So you want the humidity to be let out. It's not really recommended. We would advise against it. I know that there's certain cases you will do it for budget constraints and, you know, and so on and so forth, and except that you would have to be ready for the potential consequences in the future, plus continuous maintenance that you would have to do of the paint peeling and so on and so forth. Having said that, some of the options that are available to you in the marketplace, and they're not, it's not as expensive material wise, would be the manufactured stones. So cement stone, brick lookalikes, it's really a product that is very popular right now. You're paying a lot less for it. It's at least half the price of conventional brick or conventional stone. Even in certain cases, 25% of the cost. And the look that you will get would have a lot more curb appeal, you know, than having to deal with colored brick and another type of material, so on and so forth. The other one that we could also look at would be like, which is very popular now, a Maybach type siding. Okay.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot that we could do without necessarily going crazy on budgets. That will get you there. Will get you the result and even more by updating or putting newer materials.
Okay.
How's that?
That's perfect. That's great. Just obviously, what I wanted to hear, the opinion, you know, of the paint and the staining of brick. As I wasn't sure as well, but hearing it from a professional helps as well. So that's great.
Right, Vito. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
You know what? It's 9:45. So Carl, Diana, hang on. We're coming to you right after the break, but at 9:45.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. We're going to try to squeeze in three calls here between now and the top of the hour. So, Walter, we're going to put you to the test. We're going to start with Diana, who's calling in here. Let me punch up the right line. Hi, Diana.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm calling about my basement floor's concrete. This house was built in 1960, but right now the entire floor is breaking up in pieces.
Mm.
So I was kind of wondering what is causing that and what should I do about that?
Okay. Is that something that just appeared suddenly or?
Well, no, it's been appearing in different, it appeared in my laundry room many years ago and we've tried to fix it many, many times, but it always breaks up. So we just kind of put a floating floor. Don't know if that was a good idea, but now it's the area where my furnace is. So, and it's a big area, but then now I'm thinking like, why is it doing this?
Okay. That's a fair question. So before we go into the whys, let me ask you, do you know what the thickness of your slab is right now? I know you repaired it a few times.
Yeah.
So I have seen how.
No, I would have no idea.
Okay. So there's a reason I'm asking that, because in those years, sometimes the basement, a lot of the time the basement was not intended for people to live in. So to decrease costs, people would just put a very thin layer of a slab without a geotextile, didn't exist even then. And that with time, obviously, will crumble.
Okay.
And will cause these types of problems.
Okay.
So that would be your first thing to look at. Now, how would you see that? You go around the drains or you go in an area where it's actually breaking apart?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the thickness of, you try to see how thick your slab is. If you find that it's anything below 4 inches, then that gives you the answer pretty quickly. Okay?
Right.
Not much can be done when this is the case because it's just a thin layer. And unfortunately, you would have to start rethinking doing your slab. We've been to homes where it was literally 1 inch worth of cement. I mean, they just literally put it there. To put it there, just to maybe to block the humidity from the soil, which in retrospect, something that thin does not do the job.
Okay.
So that would be the first thing to look at.
Right.
The other stuff you want to see is if it's cracking and it's like in star-shaped like cracks and it's lifting. Okay.
Oh, yes, it's cracking and lifting. I vacuum in it. It comes up in pieces.
Okay. So if it's lifting and star-shaped type cracks, you might have pyrite. Okay.
Oh yeah, it's not
you
star
might have
shaped.
Pyrite.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of good news for you. Because if it's pyrite, then you're in a bigger world of trouble. You know, if it's not star shaped and you know, you could eliminate that. Now, if you want to really make sure 100%, you could have a core test. They take a test from the gravel and they test it and they tell you it's pyrite, and they even tell you how much of the pyrite is still active.
Okay.
So sometimes, you know, there we've seen cases where there was pyrite, it did its thing, and right now it's very weak, so it's not going to be damaging anything further, and you could just keep it there and just repour your slab. So that would be the second thing. The third thing we'll see is, do you have anything, you know, the water table is high or something that happened, some type of, you know, that could have contributed
like a flood?
To that. Have you?
Like a flood?
Well,
thing.
A flood or a backup or, yeah.
Yeah,
or some
no.
Water in your basement.
No, not, no. It actually, okay. Even along the wall, there's like this white powder. Does that mean anything?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does. So that's efflorescence. So that means you have some source of humidity.
Okay.
Some source of humidity, and that's the salt in the concrete that is pushing through. So, when the concrete gets saturated. So you might have some type of a water infiltration or seepage. You know, flood, when we say flood or water, we have to be very careful, because seepage is a bit more discreet. It doesn't really, it's not like we're going to have 2 feet of water in the basement. There's something that is seeping. If it's going under the slab, if it's from the footing under the slab, it could degrade your slab, and you could have these types of issues. Could be coming from many, many different areas. It could be coming from the footing. It could be coming from, you know, underneath the slab. Do you have a sump pump in the house?
Nope.
You know, where do you live? Which area do you live in?
I'm in Pierrefonds. I'm up the hill. I'm not where the footing was.
Okay, good. Okay. So you shouldn't have very high water table in your area. That's what you're saying, or where you are right now.
I think I should. How would I know if there is seepage? Do I call a company to verify?
Again, there are signs. There are, like you said, there's like if there's efflorescence, what we just talked about. Want to know why? Where is it coming from? So that's a good start. That's definitely a good start. So there's something that is causing that. What you could do is clean it up, okay?
Yep.
Clean it up and see if it comes back.
Right.
The reason I'm saying that is because it could have happened at one point that you had some type of a seepage and it stopped.
Okay, right.
Okay? You know, could have had a flood or some water infiltration from a crack and you fix that. And we just want to eliminate that possibility so you don't kind of over-exaggerate what's happening. So clean it up, seeing how long it comes back, in which areas it comes back as well. If it's the same areas, chances are there's an issue there that would have to be looked at.
Right. Okay.
All right, Diana.
Okay, so I should start with that, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Diana. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
We only got about a minute and a half. We're going to just bring in Carl quickly. Carl, you had a question about radon testing in the basement?
Yes, I'll make it quick. Okay, I'm doing a little bit of basement renovations. I'm going to be ordering a radon kit. I just wanted to know if my activity will affect the reading.
What kind of renovations are you doing?
Changing the gluing, screwing, sistering some joists, changing the insulation around the exterior wall.
No, it shouldn't at all. I mean, it's really what's coming from the slab. It should not at all. And it's a good idea that what you're doing, that you're actually doing the radon testing before you close off everything.
Correct.
Because if there's anything to be corrected, then it's the time to do it.
Okay. Was that fast enough?
Okay. So that was amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Carl. Appreciate that. Look at that. 957 Walter. Thank you.
My pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.
All right. That's Walter Assey from Renovco. And that's been the Home Improvement Show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get you up to date from the newsroom as Don makes makes her way in here to the news booth in just a couple of seconds. And then, I'm looking through a lot of glare and glass. That's why I hesitated. And then it's Lisa Christensen, who is in the building. I saw for sure she's in, and she's taking care of the car show and your calls at 514-790-0800. That's coming up within minutes here on CJAD 800.